Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, all. Welcome to a live edition of Weigh In Sports Talk. I'm your host, Brian Tarvin, and tonight I'm joined with co-host Chris Rickett, and I'll be joined with Everett Price later on in the show. He's going to call a weigh in. We got a lot to talk about tonight in the hour we're doing. We're going to go over Bobby Petrino's firing at Arkansas. We're going to touch a little bit on Ozzie Guillen suspension for the Miami Marlins. And to start off the show, I just want to extend my condolences to Kirk Crane's family. Jay Crane, he's a guest on our show. He works for AuburnSports.com. His dad passed away yesterday, Kirk Crane, All-American linebacker at Auburn. I just want everyone to remember his family in your prayers. And Chris, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing good, and I just want to echo those sentiments. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with the Crane family during this difficult time. When I heard about this, it just kind of shook me up, you know, because it got me to thinking, you know, what if something were to happen to my father? And, you know, it just really kind of touched home. And so I just want to offer my condolences and thoughts and prayers to the Crane family. And also remind them of a good Bible verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort." So just everybody remember the Crane family at this difficult time.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for that, Chris. And I talked to Jake Monday night, before all that happened, and didn't know. So I'm sure he's, you know, tore up. So your prayers will be very appreciated by him and his family. I mean, like you said, when something like this happens, everything, you know, you start zoning in on your own life, your own family, and it makes you feel less invincible because you see it happen around you. And it just makes you know how important life is. Every day we're here is a blessing, you know.
Exactly.
So Kurt, we will see you one day in heaven. And Jake, you're in our prayers. You're in your family. So we got a lot to talk about tonight, Chris.
Yeah, we got a lot on the plate.
Yeah, Sunday night we had a show. We had a debate, really, what would happen with Bobby Petrino. Trey was on. He said Petrino would keep his job, maybe get suspended a little bit. You and I both thought that he would be terminated. So, Trey, if you're listening out there, you're wrong, buddy.
Don't rub salt in the wound.
No, I won't. Trey was probably trying to just be a little different than us that night. So, anyway, yesterday, breaking news out of Arkansas, Bobby Petrino terminated from his head coaching job at Arkansas. He, you know, was fired with cause, meaning, Chris, he lost, what was it, $18 million of guaranteed money. Guy's making $3.5 million per year, and it's gone. And like you said, you made a good point on the show last week, was, you know, one of the things, the keys in this case really was, and the story was, did this girl actually work? Did Jessica work for him?
Yeah.
And we found out, yes, she did. And that's probably the main reason that he was terminated.
Yeah, there was two things that I kind of pointed to. One, the fact that he was having an inappropriate relationship with a subordinate employee. And then the second fact, too, that, you know, he tried to cover it up. You know, he lied to his AD, he lied to the police, he lied to everybody until the truth started sprinkling out in the media. And, it's never good to try to cover up something like that. It's always going to come back to bite you, and it looks like it's going to cost Mr. Petrino a lot of change. You know, $18 million left on that contract, not to mention all the pain and suffering that he's caused his family. So, you know, he's definitely going through a trying time, and, you know, as he said, you know, in all the interviews I've read, you know, this is nobody's fault but his own, and so, you know, he's willing to step up to the plate and take the blame. But, yeah, it's just a bad situation in Arkansas right now.
Well, I would accept it. First of all, again, we're not judging him or anything. We're just reporting the fact. I mean, it'd be different if after these allegations, after it came out, he was trying to work it out with his wife. But instead, he's texting this girl like 90 times, talking to her on the phone. So Bobby Petrino's not sorry. He's sorry he got caught. He's sorry he lost all that money. But at the end of the day, he's not sorry for what he did. Because
yeah,
he
I
knew
agree.
Every day what he was doing. I mean, this is not, you know, we talked about, too, how long has this relationship been going on? We found out at least it dated back to September 12th of 2011. So that's a long time, you know, for a married man with five kids. And this girl's engaged to Josh Morgan. He was, I think, the director of swimming, and he graduated from Florida. Come to find out, the fiance resigned from the university. He's still on the website that he resigned. And how could you not if you're him in a way? He's probably going to get out somewhere where he can start over, away from all the distractions. Because, you know, if he comes back to work, everybody's just going to be asking him the same questions over and over again.
Yeah, and that's probably, you're right, Tarn. That's the best thing for him to do, is just to get away from the situation at hand. And I wonder about, you know, the girl involved, you know, have you heard anything? Has she resigned from her position, or what's the deal on her? I haven't really heard anything.
And honestly, she hasn't really come out, but I know she probably has lawyered up. It wouldn't surprise me if she comes up with some lawsuit against the school. And I've seen cases like this before where she's going to play the victim, and she was coerced into doing it. Her boss made her do it. So what she doesn't realize is he was only her boss for a couple weeks or a week. They've had this relationship going on for a long time. So as far as her getting a lawsuit, no way. If I'm Arkansas, I'm firing her too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to – Arkansas's pretty much – they've been put in this position where they just got to kind of wash their hands of this whole mess, you know, and to do whatever steps are necessary to clean this up, because, you know, it's only putting a black eye on the University of Arkansas, and, you know, right now they're just trying to do damage control.
But, you know, this happened at the worst time for Arkansas. Like, you don't hire a coach after spring practice, you know, and you want a coach to come in before spring to implement a system, to let the players buy into a system. But now you're going to have to either hire from within someone that's probably not qualified to take an SEC caliber team and be the lead man for them. But Paul Petrino, Bobby's brother, the athletic director, said that he was thinking about possibly hiring him. But I think that would be a mistake. If I'm Petrino's brother, I just go on to. I leave, because as long as he's there, he's always going to be remembered as the brother of Bobby Petrino.
Yeah.
And Arkansas needs a clean slate, Chris. They need to find somebody. Like we talked about the other day, I like Gus Malzahn's name. I think it's going to be out there. Even though he came today and said he's committed to Arkansas State, of course he is right now. But if Arkansas comes calling, he's going to be on that job like Petrino was on that motorcycle, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would be interesting to see how his tune changes if they offer him a nice little contract, maybe, or a little incentive to bring him over to Fayetteville.
Have you seen Arkansas Stadium? It looks like a high school, really. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, another name I've been hearing, too, is this Garrick McGee, you know, the head coach of UAB. You know, I don't really know a lot about him. I think he's – I think he was actually under – wasn't he at Arkansas at one time?
I think he was a coordinator at Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah, so I know his name has kind of been thrown around a little bit. And then they could all – I mean – What do you think their plan is? I mean, do you think the best plan for Arkansas right now is to maybe hire a coach on an interim basis for 1 year and then go out and try to get, you know, a more established type guy? Or do you think Arkansas needs to go ahead and just try to find the right guy now?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it could be either way. I think if you're Arkansas, it's going to be very hard to find somebody right now because a lot of coaches aren't willing, unless they're from a smaller school, to take a step up. You're not going to see, for instance, and this would happen, Nick Saban leave Alabama or something to go to Arkansas. You're going to get a coach at this time that's below Petrino. So what I would do is I would put someone that's familiar with the program and put him as an interim head coach, and I would be on the market for the whole year looking for a coach. You know,
yeah.
Somebody, especially during the middle of the season, towards the end of the season, that's when you want to hire them because you have next year's recruiting to think about too.
Exactly. Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Tarvin. You know, I think right now, based on the timing of this whole thing, to me it makes more sense to hire an interim coach, somebody from within, say like maybe that Taver Johnson guy, you know, a current assistant that,
uh-huh.
you know, the players are familiar with, and somebody that can that knows the system and, you know, can do a decent job at leading these guys and getting them to buy in, you know, very early on because, you know, the psyche of the players right now, you know, you got to think, you know, Arkansas had so much momentum going into this year. I mean, you know, they've got Tyler Wilson, the quarterback. You know, he's one of the top-tier quarterbacks in the SEC. You know, they've got all their tough games at home. You know, this was the year that if they were going to compete for a national title, this was it, you know. So you got to think the psyche of the players right now is a little bit down because you know they've lost their leader, you know, due to this horrendous act by Petrino, and I wonder what the psyche of the players is actually right now and how that's going to affect them going forward into the season.
Well, I'm sure right now they're in shock. I think a lot of the players feel disappointed that. You know, it's like you're probably your dad coming in saying, hey, I had an affair. And, you know, you'd feel, you know, very bad. You'd feel disappointed. You'd feel hurt, angry. I mean, all of these things the players will feel. But kind of a perfect time for it to happen. And, you know, if it was going to happen right now, in my opinion, would be a good time because now, you know, spring practice is really over almost. So you have a few months to heal up and get these players to buy into someone else and to just kind of refocus all of their energy and just get this out of the way because if this would have happened in July or August, it would have been detrimental.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think you're right. You know, if you had to pick a time for it to happen, you would definitely want it to be right now because, you know, like you said, they just got done with spring practice. They have a little bit of time to kind of gather the troops, so to speak, and try to just put this behind them if they can. I don't know. I have to give the AD a lot of credit because this was definitely a tough decision for him. You know, it had to be because the fan base was probably. You know, 50-50 of the ones that wanted him out and you know, the ones that wanted him to stay. So, you know, he made the tough choice. And, you know, I give him credit because, you know, he did probably the hardest thing. And that's to fire a coach that's basically, you know, brought your program back to relevancy. So.
And he hired him himself. So that's even harder to do. You know, you hired the guy. Now it's your name. It's your head out there. So, Chris, have you read the police reports on this at all? Have you seen a statement from Captain King?
No, I haven't.
his first statement. First of all, let's talk about why is this girl not injured? You know, in the police report, he said, this is a quote, this white female had blonde hair and I think was dressed in jeans. She showed no signs of injury. Now, I mean, how is it Petrino's beat the you-know-what in back and Durrell's just said there were no scratches, bruises, or what? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you know, if you've ever ridden a motorcycle, you know when you wreck one, you usually don't come out unscathed,
wow.
You know, and I don't know if I don't know, Tarvin. To me, that's hard to explain, too. I don't know if maybe she had some minor injuries and just, you know, maybe Petrino called somebody and say, hey, come pick this girl up or something. I mean, you know, the fact is we haven't heard from her since the accident, and I don't know that any pictures have been taken. So, I mean, do we really know that she wasn't injured or what?
And here's a quote from Outkick the Coverage. It says, Petrino changed hospitals from the one that a captain in the Arkansas State Police Department never heard of before. And it said, this directly contradicts the fact that Petrino was unable to think clearly immediately after the accident. If you're thinking clearly enough to specify a particular hospital and call your personal physician, you're thinking clearly enough to begin the process of a cover-up.
Exactly.
And then he blamed the gust. The first thing he said, he blamed the gust of wind for his accident, and then the sun was in his eyes. So, which one is it, Bobby?
I don't know. We'll probably never know the answer to that question. But it's like, which one is it, Bobby? You know, that's a great point. You know exactly which hospital and which physician to call immediately after the accident, but now you can't remember what caused the accident. I mean,
I have a theory, but we'll go on to the next point. You know, the funny thing, in the hospital, the only people he wanted in his room to get x-rays was his wife and the police officer. I mean, so that shows you how close that guy is, the cop is, King, with them. And, you know, to cover up, to get the story straight, that's really what he was doing. And, I mean, you can tell just by reading the report that this cop is lying, the state trooper. And you mark my words, he's the next one to be fired. So
I think he might have got a little incentive from Mr. Petrino to doctor the police report.
Oh, exactly, he did. I mean, he was all over the police report. And his supervisor even said, hey, we're going to interview Petrino without you. And he didn't like that, but his supervisor is not dumb. He realizes that, A, these guys have a real close relationship, and, B, it just puts him in a bad situation. So he's probably, as a supervisor, and you know as well as I do, you want to take the risk off your employees and just, you know, get them back into reality here, because money talks, and, you know, if Petrino wanted to, he could pay him, you know, $1 million to corroborate a story with him.
Yeah, exactly. Could be a little additional cover-up there.
Yeah, but the thing that bothers me, Chris, is, you know, you send text messages to people, and, you know, you and your girlfriend, you first meet, you're young, you talk a lot on the phone, you text a lot. This guy's 51 years old, and on September 13th, he sends 91 text messages to her in a period of 5 hours. The day before the Vanderbilt game, and I don't know if all of you remember this, Vanderbilt almost beat Arkansas, 73 texts. Week of the Bama game, phone calls, texts at 5:52 a.m., 6:35 a.m., 5:49 a.m. that week. And it's just like, are you serious? Are you kidding me? This guy's got Alabama Nick Saban.
So you're telling me he wasn't watching game film
game
all that
film.
Time?
He's going to be watching game film. He's not going to be flirting with some girl. But that to me is a reason to be terminated too. You've got to put your school's best interest first when you're making that kind of money.
Exactly. Well, it just shows you that his full attention wasn't directed at winning ball games.
Yeah, we know what it's directed towards, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then, you know, I kind of found it interesting, too, that, you know, the day after the accident, you know, he had a 22-minute phone conversation with this girl. So what do you think that phone conversation was about?
Probably, hey, the police will be contacting you, and they'll be trying to find out who you are. And
yeah, exactly. You know, you think Mr. Petrino was saying, hey, you might want to lay low and, you know, not say anything. You know, I kind of think that that's kind of part of it, too. You know, he definitely had, you know, he told her to he told her exactly what needed to be done, you know, following the accident. And I think that's a big reason why we haven't heard her come out and say anything.
Yeah, if she's smart, she'll stay quiet, because the worst thing she could do right now is come out and just make this even worse. Because what it sounds like to me, she's trying to stay clear of this. But eventually she's going to have to come out. But I think she's trying to plan a lawsuit, something. But think about this, Chris. And, you know, I'm not a human resource person, but, you know, the job she interviewed for, there was, you know, over 100 and say 50, I'll guess, 150 applicants for that job. Well, he only interviewed three people, made three finalists, and chose her, and they didn't even keep the job out long. So I wonder if the people that interviewed for the job, or at least applied for the job that were qualified, I wonder if they're going to try to seek legal action.
It's possible. I mean, you know, they could always file some type of suit under the, you know, Equal Employment Opportunity Act. You know, because clearly in this case, there was not, you know, an equal opportunity for each of those 158 applicants. You know, he pretty much had already pre-selected his person for that position.
Oh, he didn't. I mean, you think they're dating since September or have a relationship? Not dating. He's married. But, you know, a job came open. I'm sure they talked months before that. Hey, when this job comes open, it's yours, you know.
And, yeah, exactly.
And the $20,000 cash gift to her, that's just insane. And it just shows that, you know, he was trying to have a mistress on the side, and she liked it. I mean, what kind of woman would be engaged to a man and cheat on him with a 51-year-old man with five kids and a wife? That shows you the character of her.
Yeah, it shows you kind of almost her true intent of the relationship. You know, she found her a sugar daddy, and she was gonna do anything to keep that money rolling in. And you know, all these things that we talk about here, or that we discussed over the last, you know, 10-15 minutes. I mean, this is what the AD had in front of him, and this is what he used to base his decision on. And you know, if you look at all the evidence there, I mean, it's clear that he made the right decision. I mean, he was forced, no matter how bad he wanted to keep Petrino. I mean, he just could not ignore all the evidence that was presented to him to fire this guy. You know, I mean, he had to do what he had to do, and I just, you know, again, I think he did the right thing in ending the coaching tenure of Mr. Petrino. So hopefully Arkansas, you know, they'll get a game plan in place to get him a coach and get him back on the right track. But, you know, this is really devastating to their program right now. I mean, I don't see how these players are going to be able to rally around even an interim coach and still have the type of season that they were in line for. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just don't see it ending well this year for the Arkansas football program.
Well, you're going to have half the players probably are going to be like, hey, you know, I don't care about Petrino, I'm playing for me, but you're going to have that other half that's going to pack it in and say,
exactly.
I'm going to the NFL. I'm not risking injury. This coach doesn't even care, you know, enough. I'm not going to risk my millions of dollars one day for this program. But you're talking about Arkansas revived to 21-5 record over the last two seasons. Last year lost to the two best teams in the country on the road, each of them, I believe, or one was home, I think. I can't remember. But anyway, they lost to the two best teams in the country and was a very good team. They were number three in the country at one time. But they lost a lot of receivers this year. But again, like you said, they had their quarterback. They had Nile Davis back, so they have the players in place to make a run at it. And with Alabama probably being a little down this year, LSU losing a lot of their team, they had a shot to win the West.
Exactly.
He was an offensive genius, but I did see in his police report he misspelled a word. I believe I can't remember which one it was, but it was funny. They said the thing, if you're an offensive genius, how in the world do you misspell a word like this? You know, everyone's going to see this report Yeah, and you can't even spell, so. Bobby Petrino, good luck. I'm sure you'll catch on somewhere. Someone will take a chance on you. You know, there is forgiveness in life, but I don't think your wife's going to forgive you, sir. Your kids might, but your wife won't. She's going to be probably married to a 25-year-old with millions of dollars going off somewhere out of the country. So, and Bobby, I'm sure he won't carry on this relationship with this girl. I'm sure she's going to be trying to get back with her fiance, but you never know, Chris. It's just a messed up situation. I feel bad for everyone involved in it because the Arkansas fans hurt, the community, the school, just everything, even all programs, all sport programs, baseball, tennis, volleyball, whatever, they're all hurt because of this, because Bobby Petrino was the face of that university.
Exactly.
I wonder what Bill Clinton's saying right now. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Exactly. Well, that's probably what Bobby Petrino, he probably should have stole that line from Mr. Clinton, and he might still be the coach.
Yeah, if you're Bobby Petrino right here, you say, hey, you know, I spent the day with my wife. I wanted to go on a motorcycle ride. I just hired this new person here. Just wanted to get out, talk to her, took her on a motorcycle ride. Hey, I even gave her my helmet because it was just a leisure ride or something. You know, don't come out and say the first thing, I had an inappropriate relationship, you know, because the first mistake he made was not disclosing this to the university. Even if he had, to say this hadn't happened, but he went to the AD and said, hey, I'm having a relationship with an employee here. I'm just going to let you know. He wouldn't be fired. They would probably put her in another position somewhere. But he would have kept his job.
He definitely didn't help his case when he said, you know, I had an inappropriate relationship with this subordinate employee. I mean, that's strike one, and then strike two, you know, you cover it up, and strike three, you know, you're paying her money on the side and all this. I mean, it was just, you know, piece after piece after piece of evidence that just mounted up, and it eventually all caught up to him, and now he's paying the price, you know.
I just don't understand how a fiance of her could sit here and watch her, I mean, not know she's sending that many text messages and receiving that many. It's like, maybe he did know. Maybe he didn't care that, you know, he's getting paid, he's getting a lot of money. I mean, you know, his fiance's with the head football coach of Arkansas, you know. Some people, you never know. This guy, you know, hasn't been heard of. So you don't know, but we're going to end this conversation. But I'm sure there'll be more to follow. I'm just interested to see what else comes out and who else is involved, see if the state trooper gets fired. It's just a messy situation for everybody involved in this. And I feel bad for the Petrino family, you know, having to deal with her dad and her husband having to go through this, and it's just embarrassing.
Yeah, I agree.
And his family, but Chris, guess what else is going on in the baseball world? You want to fill us in?
Oh, you're talking about Aussie Ala Fidel Castro Guillen?
Exactly. What is the latest on that? Fill the listeners in of what's going on with that and what happened.
Well, you know, Aussie he's basically notorious for shooting off at the mouth and just saying, you know, whatever comes to mind. And we all know that can get you in trouble. And, you know, he was quoted in a magazine article and pretty much saying, hey, I love Fidel Castro. And, you know, he's the head coach for the Miami Marlins. And, that's a big – Miami's just – you know, probably 80% Cuban and Cuban Americans, and Cuban Americans definitely do not like Mr. Castro. So that definitely rubbed them the wrong way. And you know
he does this stuff on purpose, Chris. There's no way. I mean, he happens to be the coach at Miami, and then now he's making remarks of that. I mean, I blame the organization of Miami for hiring this idiot. I mean, I do. He's terrible. He's not a coach. He's a clown.
Yeah. And, you know, and you know, Tarvin, I found this kind of interesting. This is not the first time that he's actually, you know, said comments about Castro. I think back in 2008, if I remember correct, when he was the head coach for Chicago White Sox, he was quoted in a GQ article basically saying, he didn't say, "I love Fidel Castro," but he was talking about how he admired, you know, Fidel Castro, and, you know, because he was a dictator and everybody, you know, had a target on him and he was able to survive, that he was, you know, basically he was one bad dude and that he really respected that about him. And that kind of, you know, was swept under the rug because, you know, he's in Chicago, you know, the demographic of Chicago is, you know, nobody really cared. I think, you know, this comment was definitely wrong place, wrong time. And, you know, you always have to be mindful of, especially when you put something in print, and like you say, you are the face of the organization, of what you say and people you might offend. Because, I mean, let's face it, you know, here Miami is, they just built this brand new ballpark, you know, with taxpayer money. So, the majority of the Miami is made up of Cuban Americans. So they're having to foot the bill for this, you know, new stadium. And then, lo and behold, you got your manager coming out and saying, "Hey, you know, I love Fidel Castro." I mean, Ozzie, I mean, I know you're kind of off your rocker, but, I mean, really, are you that crazy?
First of all, they should put a gag order on this guy. Any place he coaches. First of all, I would fire him. I mean, there's no room for that. I mean, why are you have baseball? You just started baseball season. Why would you be talking about Fidel Castro? I mean, you need to be trying to figure out a way to win a baseball game with all the money you spend on these players, and you can't even score runs. And it's just, I mean, Chicago, he was an idiot, you know, when he was a coach there, and now he's just showing it even more. What? I just don't understand what do they see in this guy to make him the head coach of this organization? He has no class. He's an idiot. He just spouts off anything he comes to his mind, and it's like the Jews with Hitler and everything. How would he? I mean, what if his parents were murdered by Hitler and everything? And somebody said that, how would he feel? You know, there's a lot of people in Miami right now that lost family because of Castro and a dictator, and he's just saying stupid stuff. And then what gets me is he apologizes, which is BS, and he comes out and he says, "Hey, I said it in Spanish first, saying that I don't know how a man hated like Castro has survived this long," and that's what he meant, but he misinterpreted in English. Well, here's the thing, just speak one language and master that. You know,
yeah.
Interpreter, that's fine. Let the guy interpret it, the English guy, interpret your language. And if he makes a mistake, he can admit he made a mistake. But, I mean, he didn't make a mistake, Chris. He did it on purpose because he's arrogant and he's a baby when he loses and he just wants to make excuses. And he was mad and he said that because I'm sure some fans were riding him hard maybe after a loss or something, and he just thought of the first thing he could say to hurt somebody, and I really think he did. And for that, I think he got suspended 5 games, right?
Yeah, that was a suspension that was handed down by the organization. And, you know, just to kind of, you know, I agree with you, Tarvin. The whole lost in translation excuse is bogus. And, you know, I would tend to believe that if he hadn't come out in 2008 in a GQ article, like I'd mentioned earlier, and mentioned how much he respected, you know, Fidel Castro, because that was basically kind of his basis for that, you know. Well, what I really meant to say was that, you know, I respected him. Well, no, but what you said in the article was that I love Fidel Castro. Respect and love are two different things, you know. And
yeah.
If you knew in 2008, you know, if you were able to articulate that in 2008, the respect aspect of it, why didn't you do it in this article? So I'm in 100% agreement with you. I just don't believe the whole lost in translation excuse. I think it's just an easy cop out because, you know, let's face it, Ozzie, you know, he doesn't speak English all that well. I mean, you've seen any interviews with him, it's broken at best. And, you know, I'm with you. It just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then, you know, he gets up there, and I believe that he's sorry for the reaction and not the action. You know, I think when he said it, he meant it, and he didn't want to offer any apologies then. But then when he saw the reaction to the comments that he had made, you know, and he saw how much hurt that it caused the people in Miami and how infuriated they were with him, that's when he became sorry. So I'm kind of with you. This guy's he's known for shooting off at the mouth and just saying whatever and not really thinking about the repercussions of what he's saying. And, you know, I don't know, was a suspension warranted in this case? Yeah, is 5 games enough? I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, if you suspend a manager 5 games out of 162, I mean, really, what kind of – is that really sending a stern message?
Well, I think it's just to buy him time to show that, A, they took action, Chris, that they did realize that – they realized that what he did was wrong. But I think it's buying him time to look into it a little further to see what kind of reaction they're getting, what kind of responses they're getting, because I think they're going to fire him. And I'm not saying it's a fireable offense. I'm saying if it was you, Chris, you know, you just started coaching and you said something like that the first, second time, you know, it's forgivable because you're new and everything. But this guy does it every year, multiple times. He's spouting off his mouth, just saying insensitive things. It's one thing to believe something, and I know America has freedom of speech, but hey, you know, you have to be sensitive to people around you, and there's no reason in the world that you would love Fidel Castro and respect him.
Yeah, well,
he only said that to get under their skin, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole freedom of speech thing, you know, I mean, the Constitution basically states, hey, you know, Congress shall pass no law that prohibits, you know, the freedom of speech. Now, what does that mean? That means that, you know, the government will not impose any restrictions from a judicial standpoint on freedom of speech. But you also have to be mindful, there are consequences to what you say. And, you know, you have to, like you said, you have to be mindful of people's sensitivity. And if you say things, I mean, there are going to be repercussions for things that you say. So I just think, you know, I know why the Marlins hired him. You know, he had won a World Series title with Chicago, and, you know, he has a big influence with the Latin players. And, you know, Miami, you know, they have a ton of Latin players, you know, in their lineup. And, you know, I think they just kind of overlooked the fact that, hey, this guy, he's basically a loose cannon when you put a microphone in front of him. And they were just, you know, hey, we'll deal with it as it happens. Well, I don't think that the management of the Marlins expected anything like this to happen. I don't think they'll fire him over this. I mean, you may see maybe some more games tacked on, but, you know, I agree with you. It's not a fireable offense, but, you know, definitely, hopefully he learned his lesson this time. But, you know, with his track record, I'd probably say not. I mean, you know, you can expect more blunders from Mr. Guillen.
Yeah, well, we're going to go to the lines. If you want to call in and weigh in, 646-716-5564. I think we have Big E on the line. Is that you, Big E?
Yes, sir, it is.
What's going on, Chief?
I'm just headed home.
What do you think about this Ozzie Guillen? What do you think about this Ozzie Guillen situation?
Ozzie Guillen. Let me see. What do I think about Ozzie Guillen? Did y'all ever watch Saturday Night Live back in the 70s and early 80s?
No.
There was a guy, a black guy that was on there, and his name was Garrett Morris. And whenever they did their news thing on the skits and stuff, he would come on. He was a baseball player. And they would interview him, and he would, "Best Bob, and better go to me." and they'd ask him a question. Well, how are you hitting right now? Hey, baseball been very, very good to me. Baseball good. And listening to Hockey DM yesterday in Spanish, and then every once in a while throwing in his pidgin English every once in a while, I got the feeling that he was lying through his teeth. First of all, you don't have a stadium that's built in Little Havana in Miami, and you're the Miami Marlins, and Little Havana is probably 95% Cuban. And you don't go out and say you love Fidel Castro and then try to come on and cover it up with the absolute worst cover up I've ever heard. All he did was gibber and jabber in Spanish. And, you know, he was throwing up a smoke screen. That's what he was doing. Look, if you go down to the horse show and you buy a jackass, it's not going to turn into a stud horse when you get it home. It's just not going to happen. You know, they knew what they were getting when they hired him. He's a good baseball man. He knows the game, but he absolutely has no idea how to present himself in front of the public eye. And I mean, even exactly. the fact that he apologized is amazing, because he said some stupid stuff before. I've never been on camera and apologized. So
Everett, if you're Miami, Everett, what do you do with him? I know you suspended him 5 games. Are you with me that you fire him, or do you just leave him suspended for a couple games?
Well, I think they're going to let it go. I don't know whether they should or shouldn't. It depends on what kind of faith they have in him. They're going to let it go, and what's going to happen is what I saw yesterday, and you know, the people showing up protesting. That stadium was built in Miami, in Little Havana right there, primarily to target that particular population of people. And he was hired for that exact same reason. They want the Cuban population to show up at that ballpark. There's so many people there that are of Cuban descent that, you know, that's why they put it there. Now, if this long-term hurt, if he can't fix it, and it hurts the attendance, and nobody's showing up, then you're going to see him terminate somewhere down the road, because they won't be pulling any fans. I mean, they're going to pull some. I don't know how many seats the stadium has in it, but
I've watched Miami, and you know, the only people I see in the stands are the guy selling peanuts and beer. I mean, there's nobody in Miami's games anyway.
Yeah, that's always been an issue ever since the Marlins have come down to Florida. It's they can't draw anybody there. You know, they built this new stadium, and it's a relatively small stadium. I think it seats maybe 35,000 people at best. And, you know, they had the big home opener, you know, the opening night, and, you know, it was – maybe two-thirds of the way full. You know, they've always had this issue of getting people to come out. And so, you know, that would be an easy base. Yeah, exactly.
That was the reason why they put that stadium there, and that was the reason why they hired him. They wanted to start drawing that particular population of people, and now he has went in and just, you know, stomped on it, you know, and it was a mud hole, and he stomped it dry, you know. I mean, he completely took the water right out of it, but with what he's done, so.
Well, Big E, we thank you for weighing in with us, and you're going to be on the show with me Sunday, right?
Yeah, I'll be there.
And by the way, before we go with you, what about Petrino? What do you think about the firing of Bobby Petrino?
Well, there again, if you go down to buy a horse and you get a jackass, thank you, I'm into a horse when you get it home. His track record speaks for itself. He knows offense, let's put it that way. He don't know defense, but he knows offense. He's been a part of Jetgate. He left Louisville to go to the Falcons. He let Jerry Jones come in there and talk him out of leaving the Falcons to come to Arkansas. He's not trustworthy, obviously, you know. And from what I hear, scuttlebutt from the NFL. A lot of the NFL players are laughing because they're talking about karma and how it's come back to haunt him. It's one of the treat others as you would like to be treated situations, and apparently it's come back around to Bobby Petrino. There's no way that you can allow somebody to run a program that interviews three people out of 159, and the one you hire is the one you've been seeing on the side for 3 years. Not to mention the 20 grand that he slipped her under the table.
Under the table?
Well, probably. And I have my own theories on how the wreck actually occurred, too. They said he wasn't drinking, so. That just goes to show you need to wear a helmet while you're doing that. So.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't want to be like the movie Top Gun, driving around without a helmet with the Ray-Bans on like Petrino was. So. Anyway, yeah. Big E, thanks for calling in. Stay on and tune back in if you need. We're going to talk about a little bit of good news now.
All right.
So, but,
see ya.
All right. See you, buddy.
Take it easy.
That's a good point. Thanks, Big E, for calling in. But, you know, we've been talking about negative things all night, Chris, and I think it's time that we talk a little positive. And I got some news today that I don't know if all you listeners remember that Auburn's lineman, Sean Coleman, that was big. He was one of the top recruits in the country as lineman. He beat cancer, you know, a few years ago. He went down with cancer as soon as he signed with Auburn. I believe it was leukemia, wasn't it, Chris?
I think so. I think you're right.
And he's cleared to practice and practicing today. And that's
good. That's great news.
Praise God for something like that, because this is a kid that deserved it. He deserved to play football. He deserved to live life. And you know, I heard he touched a lot of lives while he was doing chemo with kids. He is full of life. This kid is amazing. And I think people forget about him, that he's been in school at Auburn getting his education. You know, Chizik didn't take his education away because he was hurt or, you know, couldn't play. But Auburn's team just got a ton better because of this guy. He is an anchor at line. He's huge. And, you know, even being sick, he didn't lose his strength, really. He kept working out, just kept his attitude positive. And you tell me, you got cancer a couple years ago, and now you're playing football.
That's just a true college. Yeah, that's a true testament to that kid's character, you know, to face such a tough disease and battling cancer, you know, and putting in the work, not only physically but mentally, you know, to be in good spirits and to really affect the lives of people around him. That's just, to me, that is the definition of a high character guy. And, you know, I wish him nothing but success. You know, he's earned it in the toughest way. I hope the kid just blows up and nothing but good things happen to him. You know, those are guys that you root for, no matter who you pull for. You know, no matter if you're an Alabama fan, Auburn fan, or Florida Gator fan, when you hear stories like that, you know, you pull for those individuals to do well.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm just really, you know, when that first happened, I was worried that, you know, here's a kid that dominated football all of his life, and actually, you know, I learned more about him after he got cancer. You know, it kind of showed what a great kid he was anyway before that, but he deserved to play. You know, he deserved to be playing in the NFL. He deserves the good things to happen, you know, but it shows you the prayer and having support of family and friends and a community, you know, pulled this kid through, and he'll play this year, hopefully. I don't think Chizik will let him sit out anymore. I think, you know, after going through the summer workouts, and I think he'll be ready to go, and we need help on that offensive line. We've had some great recruiting classes the last few years, but anytime you can throw a beast that size on, it's great. And I just want to, Sean Coleman, you're out there listening somewhere, but we love you, bud. We appreciate all you've done, and we look forward to seeing you on the plains this year and years to come.
Exactly. A big War Eagle out to him.
War Eagle. And also, it's a funny story. Some Auburn fan in Florida, I think he was at Whataburger at 2 a.m., said War Eagle to somebody, and they punched his lights out. He was sitting on the hood of his car, and some guy walked by, and he said War Eagle, and the guy punched him. So,
he must have been talking to a Florida Gator fan or something.
Or an Alabama fan that was forced to live in Florida for work or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So here's some news that I just want your insight in, Chris, to happen. You know Reuben Foster, don't you, Doug?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was just about to ask you about this, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, you know, he's been recruited. He's a number two overall prospect in the nation. He's been committed to Alabama since July 2011. You know, but here lately he's been visiting Auburn in Georgia. And you know how Ben Gorder is. He's wanting his defense stacked. And all of a sudden, this kid comes in and he transfers to Auburn High School. And he's going to be playing with Curtis Looper and Trooper Taylor's sons on this team. So what I'm going to ask you, Chris, and all the listeners out there, does this look good for Auburn that he transferred to Auburn High School?
I'm just going to say, things that make you go, yeah, this is exactly, I mean, I don't know if he will switch. My gut tells me that there is a very good chance he will, and I hope that he does, you know, being an Auburn fan that I am. Of course, I'm going to weigh in on this heavily, you know. I think once he gets to Auburn High School and he is around the Auburn family and he, you know, sees what life like experiences what life is going to be like in Auburn, I think he will, Tarvin. I think it's just a matter of time.
I agree with you 100%. My sources, I've got a couple that's pretty sure that this kid's coming to Auburn. And like you said, he gets around the community. Imagine him going and playing high school football this year in Auburn, Alabama, and then the next morning driving over to the stadium to watch Auburn play LSU, Auburn play Arkansas. You know, just if you're around Auburn and you've been there at game day, and I'm sure Tuscaloosa, you're the same way, there's nothing like game days in the South, man. I don't care if you're in Tuscaloosa. I don't care if you're in Georgia, Florida. But once you're around that environment, you want to be there all the time. And I think this kid's going to be the same way. But on another note, the trial today, they've been doing a trial for the guys for Auburn that got arrested for armed robbery. And Michael Dyer testified, and, you know, it was his gun that was used in that robbery. And it just makes – and I heard that, you know, a few months ago that said Michael Dyer is going to be suspended because, you know, his gun. And I was like, that's – well, you know, that's not true. But it is true. And so that might have been part of the reason Michael Dyer left Auburn in a way. And Chizik doesn't broadcast what happens on the team with discipline. He's one of the better coaches about that. It's frustrating sometimes, but it's also good for the privacy of the kids. But Michael Dyer's gun was used. And like I said, the only good news today is two good things. Sean Coleman is healthy and well, and the kid from Alabama, their biggest recruit, is probably coming to Auburn. So, and I remember talking about that. If you heard Mr. Jake the other day talking about Auburn, he said that look for some big defensive switches to come with Van Gorder here in the next few weeks. Well, it's been a few weeks, and now all of a sudden you start seeing this. So Jake was right, and I think this guy's going to be at Auburn. I think he's going to – you imagine, you know, Trooper – Taylor's son and Curtis Looper's son's out there. And after the game, guess what? This kid gets to see Trooper Taylor and Curtis Looper. I wonder if that's against the rules for them, like the bump rule or something. Can the coaches...
I don't know. I'd have to do some digging there and see what the restrictions are there. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I mean, it's just going to be so easy for the Auburn coaches to just put the big recruiting – just to recruit this kid. I mean, they're going to be able to have easy access to him because he's there in Auburn. I mean, they're going to be recruiting this kid hard, and I'd be very surprised if he doesn't switch, you know. this is just setting up really well for the Auburn Tigers to get this kid to switch over. And maybe it'll be just a little bit of a payback for some of the recruits that we've lost to the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, the last couple of years, it's been some very fishy things going on. But another note of, you know, Corey Grant transferred. He decommitted from Auburn, went to Alabama, but then he transferred to Auburn and sat out a year. I heard this kid's a monster on the field this spring. So that's good news coming out of Auburn. We're going to have Jake on hopefully in the future, and he'll go over the Auburn spring game and everything that happened. And Noel Goss, we're going to have him on maybe this Sunday to go over the 8A game to see what's going on at Auburn. I'm hearing mixed reviews. I'm hearing that Looper's not very happy with the running back. I'm hearing that the defense is looking better, you know, looking good. But you can't put much stock into spring practice. The coaches aren't going to leak anything. They're not going to praise anything, really.
Exactly. That's their time to critique. And so you're going to hear the worst of the worst and the least of the best.
Exactly. You don't want these kids' heads to swell all of a sudden that, oh, hey, Chizik says we're good. We can just ease off a little bit.
Exactly.
There's a reason why Chizik doesn't let anybody come into those practices. There's a reason. And, you know, when you look at Auburn this year and you're preparing against them, what are you going to do? I mean, you don't have all summer. If you're Clemson, you don't have all summer to prepare for Auburn like you did last year. You know, you're not going to play Wofford and Citadel and the School of the Deaf and Blind and then play Auburn and know what they're going to do. It's going to be interesting the first game to see how Auburn comes out with a new look on defense and offense. But we're under 5 minutes left in the show, about 3.5 minutes. Any final thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, I want to hit on this Mike Dyer. You know, this got me thinking, you know, when you're talking about they just testified his gun was used in the alleged robbery. I mean, can you think of any Auburn player, especially at the running back position, that has just fell so hard from – I mean, this guy was set up to be, like, one of the better running backs in Auburn history. And you know, has freshman year, you know, wins the national title. Last year had a great year.
And he breaks Bo Jackson's record as a freshman.
Exactly. I mean, this guy was poised to be, you know, one of the top five running backs to ever play at the university, at Auburn University, and it just seems like the fall was so fast. I mean, you know, the questions about the work ethic, and then he gets suspended for the bowl game, and now his gun was used in an alleged robbery. I mean, it's kind of puzzling to me. I just hate to see a kid with that much talent just throw it all down the drain. I mean, this guy was going to be a bona fide, you know, top 10 pick in the NFL draft. And now, I mean, what, he's relegated to playing at Arkansas State? I mean.
Yeah, and you know as well as I do in the NFL, they look at your character, they look at things, and one of the things I heard about Michael Dyer, which was surprising, is his attitude was terrible. He thought he was better than everybody. He wouldn't listen to the coaches, and that's a lot of the reasons why he didn't start a lot last year, and he didn't play as much. And the year before, you know, but he, like you said, he had an opportunity. There's not that many freshmen that win MVP, a national championship game, and have everything set in front of them to be one of the best running backs of that school, if not possibly, you know, top 10 ever in the SEC. But we will never know because of the trouble. He is a kid, you know, and I feel bad for him. Sometimes you just make decisions. You're dumb at that age, and you just make bad decisions. But Michael Dyer out there, you know, we always love Michael Dyer. He's an Auburn man, and he's the one guy that helped us win a national championship.
Exactly.
So we're under a minute left, Chris, and Sunday we're going to do our show at 7 Eastern time. We've got a lot to discuss. We'll probably talk about a little bit of what we did tonight, but, you know, we're going to talk a little SEC football. We're just going to talk current events. We're going to have a real good show. So you better join us.
No, I'll definitely call in. I'll definitely weigh in. Maybe give you a new NASCAR update.
You can come on and share with us, especially dig into this Michael Dyer situation a little bit more if you want to, too, and see what you can find. And, again, Jake Crane out there lost his dad, Kirk Crane, All-American linebacker at Auburn. Condolences go out to his family, and their prayers are with you. We're under 10 seconds right now, and join us Sunday at 7 Eastern. And, Chris, thanks for coming on with me tonight, and Everett, thanks for calling in, weighing in, and we'll see you Sunday.
All right. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
You too, bud.